2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, we're going to not read all this chapter this morning. This is a chapter that tells about the last days, right, what's going to be happening right before Jesus comes back. And it hits the nail on the head as if it was a daily newspaper in 1988. And I'm going to bring you a message this morning the Lord's been dealing with my heart about. I know there's a bunch of people here today, and I never know who's here till it's over with usually, and then sometimes don't for a week or two. But there's no way that I can say what I'm going to say this morning and not really get somebody upset. Upset might not be the word. Mad might be a better word. And the reason is because the world is going this way, and what I'm going to read to you and preach to you this morning goes this way. They're opposite. And if you are in flow with the way the world's going, you're going to be against what I'm going to say this morning. Everywhere I go, I preach stuff, and the Lord lays stuff on my heart, and I try, really, you might not believe this, but I really try to preach what I believe He wants me to, and people don't like it. Now, I reckon if I was a murderer, and I was killing people about every two or three days, and as a guy I got up and said, "Thou shalt not kill," I don't reckon I'd like it neither. So I think the problem is, the guilty dog always barks. You believe that? There's no pack of hound dogs down below the house, you know. And we have old wild dogs come through down there in Hoppy Tom once in a while from fox hunters that lose them and coon hunters and stuff. And the dogs get away and they'll come through there, "Oh, oh," sound like somebody shot them. And they'll be laying down there moaning and groaning in the driveway or something. Let's just suppose that I went out and I got a half a brick, and there's an old pile of dogs down there, and I ride back and I throw as hard as I could. I'd hear one of them go, and he'd take off flying out the driveway, right? Now, which one done that? There you go. You figured it out. The one that got hit. Now, there's somebody going to leave the church this morning. I'll guarantee it. And before you get in the car, you're going to say, "I didn't like this. I didn't like that. He has no right to talk like that." We know who you are. You're the guilty dog. And so I'm going to preach one of them old sermons this morning that makes enemies for me. And somebody's going to go out and cuss me and get me down the road. And you're not going to like me, and you're not going to agree with me. Of course, it would probably be mutual if I listened to you talk for a little while. I'd probably have the same opinion of you. But I'm glad you're here this morning. I do love you. But, brother, we're in a situation in this world that has gotten critical. And I'm going to hit some of the major issues that's got our world in the mess it's in this morning. And I'm going to preach to you on the subject, what in the world is going on? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse number 12. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers," watch this now, "evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Now you see three things there. The first thing you see in verse 12 is that in this day and time, everybody who tries to do right is going to catch the devil. The next thing you see is the world is not going to get better. It's going to get worse. I heard people say, hold your finger there just a second. I've heard people say, well, I think we're making great accomplishments in the world, and the world is becoming a better place to live. Now, your problem is you ain't got a lick of sense. If you think the world is better now than it was 20 years ago, you say, but Brother Danny, we've got this and that. Listen, 20 years ago, you didn't drive down the interstate and see little 8 and 9 year old kids' pictures on the back of tractor and trailer saying, have you seen me lately? And they weren't on your milk jugs. 20 years ago, you didn't have to buy 14 door locks to put on your front door. You could leave your car unlocked at the grocery store and go in and buy your groceries. The world's not getting better. According to the book, it's getting worse. So that's the second thing. The next thing you see is what me and you're supposed to do in this crazy mess. Continue in the things that we've learned and been assured of. Don't get carried away with the way the world's going this morning. Stay with what God said in the Bible and stick with what's right. I'm preaching this morning on what in the world is going on. There's things that are happening today that are shocking thousands of people who have any spiritual perception left about them at all. It seems that all the stocks are being pulled out. It seems that all the bars are being let down. It's hit thousands of people. I heard of a case just this week where a man comes to his wife. They had been married for probably 20 years, I'm guessing. He walks into his wife and said, I don't want you to be my wife no more. I've heard of at least 5 cases just in the last few weeks around this part of McDowell County and surrounding counties of people who have been married for years and years and many happy days together that have just come in and said, I don't want to be married no more. I'm sick of you. I'm sick of being my own in this home. I'm going to go out and live my own life. The recent scandal we've had of TV evangelists has spurned off a lot more laughter and mockery toward God and the Bible. And I had a man tell me just the other day, folks, he don't even go to church at all. And I was talking to him, and he was getting nervous, and he's saying, what is going on? What is happening? It seems like everything's just blowing up. Have you noticed that? It seems like everything's falling apart at the seams. It seems like preachers that have stood for God and the right for years and years and years are just throwing in the towel and giving up. It seems like people who had at least some sort of decency about them for all of their life have just went wild and are living a completely different lifestyle than they've been accustomed to all of their life. And many people are saying, what in the world's happening? Amen. It's getting scary. Many parents are finding out that their boy or girl, whom they never thought would do it, has got on drugs. I've had them call me in my office and the mother on the other end of the line crying and saying, Brother Danny, I didn't ever think my boy would do it. The police got him last night. He had marijuana in the car. He had cocaine in the car. Brother Danny is with some of them other boys and I told him not to run around with them. I let them say, the other mothers are saying the very same thing. This mother's saying, my boy's a good boy. He just got with the wrong crowd. The mothers of all them other boys are saying my boy was a good boy till he got with the wrong crowd. They're each calling each other's sons the wrong crowd. And they're amazed and shocked that it could be their boy or their... In plain words, what I'm trying to say to you folks this morning, to me, it looks like about everybody's losing their marbles nowadays and going wacko and just going out living for the devil. Have you noticed that? Or am I the only one that's noticing this nowadays? Nod your head if you're hearing what I'm saying. Okay, I was just wondering. Some of you are like, you're a little bit spaced out yourself. But I'm telling you this morning, man, if I didn't have my Bible and I didn't have the Holy Ghost and God up in heaven, I'd probably be nutty as a fruitcake too. But I'm so thankful this morning that God knew these days were coming upon us. The Lord knew this thing was going to happen. God, nothing's taken the Lord by surprise. And we've got to learn to keep our eyes on the Lord, as she sung a while ago, in these last days. You better watch it. The devil will get you too, brother. The cocaine hotline now is receiving 1,200 calls a day of kids who have a drug problem and are so scared they're wanting to do something about it. I've had people admit to me all the time, they say, preacher, I cannot do without alcohol. I've got to have it every day. And the first thing they think of when they get off work is going by the beer joint and getting them a six pack and drinking that beer. They're dependent on it. Their whole life has become wrapped around alcohol. People are selling out to the devil at rock bottom prices. I've never seen the beat in my life. Somebody told me just the other day, they'd heard of this couple separating and this couple separating and this couple divorcing and this, and they told me the other day, they said, don't tell me, I don't want to hear no more. And a lot of people are just saying, man, everybody, it seems like, is just going off the deep end. It seems like that humanism is being preached in our public schools, but no God is allowed. I could tell you some things that's going on at McDowell High and East Junior High this morning. Our young people have told me that would shock the daylight out of mamas and daddies if they knew. Listen, taking a kid in the public school nowadays is just like sticking it down in a sewer and then fussing at it for stinking when it comes home. I'm telling you, brother, them things are rotten to the core. It's not like it was when me and you mamas and daddies went to school. It's got worse and worse and worse and worse. I had somebody ask me the other day, they said, Brother Danny, I'm beginning to wonder if anybody's, everybody's not a hypocrite nowadays. I'm beginning to wonder, is there anybody still right with God? I'm beginning to wonder, is anybody what they claim to be? I'm beginning to wonder if all preachers ain't fakes. I'm beginning to wonder if everybody ain't running around on their wife or their husband. I'm saying to you this morning, church, that's exactly what the devil wants you to think. He wants you to think everybody's jumping ship, so you'll do it too. I'm preaching this morning on what's going on. I want to tell you what's going on in the world this morning. You listening? What's going on in the world when pornography is an $8 billion a year business? What's going on in the world when homosexuality has produced a plague which threatens to wipe out millions of people and some entire nations? When our homes are daily invaded with a message of sexual immorality, violence, and vulgarity by our television sets. When music bombards our young people with messages encouraging sexual promiscuity, illegal drug use, and rebellion. When the major advertisers and pornography magazines promote sexual immorality and drug use, are the companies which derive most of their profits from the families of our nation. When 13-year-olds must have their parents' permission to get their ears pierced, but not to have an abortion. When many of our schools have become nothing more than free contraceptive stations where contraceptives are passed out to our boys and girls without mom and daddy's knowing it or their consent. When inmates in prisons are given free needles by the state to use drugs inside the jail, and drugs are illegal to begin with. They're adopting a new plan in New York City now, whereas the nation's heroin addicts are going to be provided free sterile needles to shoot dope up in their arms to prevent the spread of AIDS. And the state's paying for it. I want to say what's wrong with our world first this morning is the Holy Spirit is withdrawing.
listen to me. The power and presence of God, the Holy Spirit, is pulling off our land.
Now, in case you don't know this morning, I want to tell you folks something. There's one God. That one God is manifested in three persons: Father, Son, Holy Spirit. When you deal with the Son, you're dealing with God. When you deal with the Holy Spirit, you're dealing with God. Do you know what the Holy Spirit is, or who the Holy Spirit is? The Holy Spirit is the presence of God that moves while you're having church services and speaks to your heart and knocks at your heart's door. It's that little voice that speaks to you when you do wrong and bothers you. Your conscience bothers you when you're doing something you're supposed to. That's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now, the Holy Spirit is a person. And this person is typified in the Bible by a dove. And according to that Bible this morning, the Holy Spirit can be grieved.
Amen.
You see, if people say, God, I don't want to do what you want me to do, just leave me alone, the Holy Spirit is a dove. And the Holy Spirit will not hang around where people don't want it. And so the Holy Spirit is offended and is beginning to pull His presence off of our land today. And friends, we are in trouble. We're in trouble. We're in trouble in this nation. Gone are the days when you can go in any town in America and find a Spirit-filled church to worship God in, where the power of the Holy Spirit is moving in that congregation. The average church service in America this morning is nothing more than a spiritual refrigerator that has some polar bear in the pulpit with icicles dropping off his nose, and people sitting on in the church pew as dead as 4 o'clock with their mind on the golf course somewhere. No God, no reality, no conviction, no Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit's beginning to pull away. I want to tell you something, church. We ain't got the Lord in a box. And if we sin and grieve the Holy Spirit of God, He can pull off of this place just like He has thousands and thousands of other churches in our land. We gotta make sure we cooperate with the Holy Ghost of God. He's easily offended. Turn to Judges chapter 2 just a second. I want to show you a verse of Scripture. I don't usually do this, especially in the morning, because we have people come to church here in the morning that couldn't find Judges in 15 minutes. I'll give you a hint. It's in the Old Testament. And it's about right after Joshua. And I want you to look at Judges chapter number 2. And I want to show you something here in the Bible, what makes me think the world's in the shape it's in. In the old days, they used to have revivals 30 and 40 years ago. And brother, I mean, God would come to town. And the Lord's Spirit would move so strong in a community that people, even the ones that didn't get saved, feared God and respected the Lord. Look at Judges chapter 2 and verse 7. I want to show you something. When God's servant died, that people had saw a lot of great things. The Lord do a lot of great things. Now notice, in Judges 2:7, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that He did for Israel. What am I saying? You see, while Joshua was alive, God done a bunch of great stuff. And the people who were living and seeing that live for God. But their kids come along, and when their kids begin to grow up and get big, they did not see the great works that the Lord done back in the generation before them. So these kids just started going wild. They started worshiping idols. They started worshiping false gods. Why? They had not seen what mama and daddy had seen and what grandma and grandma. Now we're seeing the same thing in America today. We've got a generation of mamas and daddies and grandmas and grandpas that was around in the old days when you couldn't pack the people in the church house. They'd stand and look in the windows. They'd fall on their knees. People would cry. They would pray. They would repent of sin. And when they got saved, they'd straighten up too. They didn't go back and drink cocktails. And they didn't go back to the honky-tonks. I mean, when they got saved, they were different. But we've got a generation of young people now that have never seen that and never saw what mom and daddy saw, and they're turning to other gods because they never saw what their grandpas and grandmas seen. How many of you have ever been in an old-fashioned revival meeting where literally the mothers would gather around the altar and they'd say, "Oh God, save my boy! Oh God, would you do it?" Boy, them grandmas would pray and fast, and they'd do without food, and they would weep. And boy, about the third or fourth night of that revival meeting, something would come across that church like the wind blowing, and people would break down. There'd be drunks come in the back door, coming down the altar, and falling, begging God to keep them out of hell. I mean, people used to fear God. There used to be a presence of the Lord. But I tell you, that's leaving nowadays. You don't find that many places. Most places where I go and preach, brother, it's like a turkey farmyard on Thanksgiving evening. You couldn't hear an amen. There's never a holy grunt. I mean, them people look like they're petrified, man. And sitting in God's house, supposed to be happy. And sitting there like a knot on a log, and the singing will bore you to death, and the preaching is even worse, and God's spirit ain't in a million miles, and then mom and daddy's wondering why their boys are going out getting on drugs, and they're drinking liquor, and they're getting pregnant before they get married, and they're winding up having abortions. You know why? They've never seen the Holy Spirit of God grab a hold of people and break their heart and change their lives. You don't see that much anymore. That's what some of you people need. The reason some of you folks live so loose, and it wouldn't take that much for some of you to desert your families and run off and live a wicked life. You know what's wrong with you? All you see when you come to church is me. You need to get in touch with the Lord. You need God to do something in your life. That's what you need. You say, "Preacher, why is the Lord's Spirit leaving us?" I'll just give you a few things. I don't have time to give you a lot of things. For one thing, our nation has put its approval on killing people. The unborn babies. 1.5 million babies will be murdered this year with no right of choice at all simply because their mother messed up and don't want the responsibilities of being a mother. Now, you folks think women ain't changed in the last 50 years? You've come a long way, baby. The only problem is you went the wrong direction. You've gone a long way. I'll give you some testimony this morning. I don't want to make you sick, but I want you to be shocked into realizing what's going on in America. I'm going to give you some testimonies from a doctor or two and a nurse or two who did work in an abortion clinic and saw what was going on, and God opened their eyes, and now all these folks are out of it completely. These are their testimonies. I'm going to quote it to you word for word. This is a doctor. He performed abortions for 8 years in a state up north. There's different kinds of abortions. There's the suction method where the baby is literally just torn from the mother's womb piece by piece, jerking its arms and legs off. There's the salt method where they squirt the salt in the baby and it burns it to death. And this is the D&E. Listen, girls. In a D&E abortion, you are pulling out pieces of unborn children.
it's highly profitable. I could do 3 abortions in my office in an hour and a half and make more money than I could caring for a lady for 9 months and then delivering that baby. It took a personal tragedy for to have him a change of heart. While he was doing an abortion, abortions, he and his wife were desperately trying to have a child. He said, there I was throwing kids in the garbage 5 or 6 a week, and I thought, why can't I just have one? Eventually, they adopted a child. Several years later, their little girl that they adopted was killed by an automobile in front of their home. The girl died in the doctor's arms. He said, if you lose a child, you look at things differently. What was once uncomfortable becomes intolerable. You feel that you're destroying a human being for money, like a paid assassin. At that point, the doctor disconnected his suction machine. Another doctor from Georgia had a different experience. He had performed 32,000 abortions. He said after the abortion, you have to reassemble that baby on the table, putting arms, legs, heads, and chest in place to make sure no pieces remain inside the mother. He said that's when it got rough, even for old timers like me. He said ladies who came in for abortions were shielded from the image when they were doing ultrasound. He said several nurses quit. They would bond with that little baby and fall in love with it, and they couldn't take what they were seeing. They were performing these abortions until a Christian woman came in and began to work for this doctor and told him what he was doing, and he had to quit. A certified medical assistant next, this was a lady, worked in Michigan in an abortion mill for 6 months in 1984. Here's her testimony, quote, hearing the baby's bones breaking as the doctor was taking it from the mother was an experience you never forget. Clinic workers were not allowed to refer to the unborn child as a baby. They were only allowed to call it tissue or a cluster of cells. Women were never told about the possibility of sterility or other complication. As a matter of fact, one worker said that they killed 1 out of over 500 women. And sometimes took out their bowels in the process of getting the baby. Another lady who worked for an abortion clinic in Texas, up until 1973, though not a health professional, she assisted in abortions, holding the woman's abdomen and holding the baby's head and keeping it in place. She said, quote, I could feel the baby's fighting, struggling to escape the forceps. She said, malpractice goes on at many abortion clinics. And she said, one I'll never forget, where the woman was killed in the process. Consumed by guilt, she finally sold and got out of the business and gave the money to Right to Lifers and pro-lifers to help stop abortion. All of these things are going on where they have trash can full of little arms and legs every day in our hospitals in America. The Holy Spirit of God will not hang around where we're carrying on and tolerating such stuff as that going on. You know what the world's looking for this morning? They're looking for a real Christian. You know who's suffering because of our, quote, lifestyles? The kids. Little boys and little girls all over this town went to bed last night crying.
and saying, "Well, I can't, Mom. I can't, Mom and Daddy get along. God, why can't they quit fussing? God, why can't they get along?" I'll tell you why they can't get along, kids. They're so full of the devil, they don't care about nobody but themselves.
A man, I'm going to say this, some of you ain't going to like it, and you're going to tell somebody, and they're going to like it less. As long as God gives me breath, I'm taking up for these kids being mistreated like they are. I can't stand it. I cannot stand it. If there's anything that burns me up, man, if for somebody to treat you, if a man that would deliberately take off with some old floozy slut, yeah, you heard me. You say, "Preacher, I ain't never coming back here. You preach." Good. I'm going to load your wagon while you're here this morning. Little dose will do you. It don't take much for you, does it? I'll tell you somebody else that don't like what I'm saying this morning. The devil. You and him's got a lot in common. A man take off and leave his family for an old slut. Knowing good well. I heard about one just last week. Little boy crying before he went to sleep, wondering why his daddy left home. Somebody needs to take you out, hog tie you, take a leather strop. You know what a strop is? That's what the old folks, a leather strop, and literally beat the hide off your rear end. Cool old lover boy off a little bit. Amen? I'll tell you something this morning, folks. When you get married, you're supposed to stay together. And you bring kids into the world, you've got a responsibility. You hurt them kids, and God said it'd be better for you that a millstone be tied around your neck and somebody throw you in the ocean, and I wish they would. Say amen right there. That's right, brother. That's the truth. I can't stand it. If you come from a broken home, you know what I'm talking about. Brother, we deal with kids all the time. Their lives are scarred for the rest of their life. They'll never get over it. They'll never get over it. They'll say, "Well, honey, Daddy will come back in a month and see you. But Daddy, please don't leave." That little kid... You ask in His name. Ask God to put the love in there. You sorry thing. You say, "Why is all this happening?" They done a study not long ago on the three major pornography magazines in America. You know all three of them, the most famous ones. They surveyed 683 magazines and found 6,000 photographs and cartoons depicting children as instruments of some ungodly person's lust. 6,000 pictures of kids being molested in these three popular magazines that are sold all over the country. 1,600 of them were with nudity. 1,200 of them were worse. 1,000 of them were associated sexually with adults. 267 of them were associated with animals. You know where all these kids you see at the post office and on milk jugs and on backs of trucks? You know what's happening to them? That's what's happening to them. And almost in every case, the child was portrayed as being unharmed or even benefited by the activity. That is the lowest scum from the pit of hell that's ever been belched out on this world. You tell me why God the Holy Ghost ain't sending revival nowadays. Come on, tell me about it. Tell me why you can't make your kids mine no more. Tell me, when's the last time you saw somebody weeping to the altar and getting saved and revival hitting the community and people's lives being... we're spoiled around here, folks. God's good to us, and we have old-fashioned shouting services and good times, and we have a tendency to take it for granted. It ain't like this most places you go. All right, I'm going to move on. You say, it's 12 o'clock, time for a preacher to quit. I'm hitting second gear. If you get food before I do, there's the door. 7 of them. Go out any one of them you want to. But I'm going to give you this. No kidding. I'm going to say a few things here. But you know what's wrong? I've been asking myself this question. You ain't going to like what I'm getting ready to say, neither. I've been saying, God, why is this? Why is everybody going nuts? Why is everybody just going wild? Why? To me, it's like we're all on a big ship. And here we go. And every once in a while, down through the years, somebody'd say, I'm tired riding the ship. I see some people out there in the water having a good time. Boom! And deserting the ship. But it seems like in the last 5 years, there's just people jumping off that boat like just choo, 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 choo. People you never thought would. People that never intended to. And now they're jumping off. There's more people jumping out than are staying in. And they're thinking that we're the ones that's crazy staying in the boat. They're out here saying, come on out here, we're having a ball. Wow! This free lifestyle. Adultery is portrayed as the thing to do. An affair is healthy for your marriage. Who in the world's going to stay in the boat, man? And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why is this? And the thing I figured out was this. The major contributor to the breakdown of our homes in America and this evil that's just took everybody by the ears has got to be television. It's got to be. That's where it's coming from. Boy, some of you really got a sour look on your face now. Some of you folks look like you eat lemons on the way to church and drunk prune juice to chase it down with. And if you don't smile, you're going to bust. You're going to crack like a piece of pottery. Do you know what's got us in the mess we're in? Television. You say now, preacher, don't you start on? Yeah, I'm going to start on it. Somebody needs to. Hey man, when I was growing up, the Dick Van Dyke show, come on, that was not entertainment. They didn't even, married people didn't even sleep in the same bed. When Ricky Ricardo and Lucy went somewhere, and they had that old bullet camper behind them, and they'd go get a cabin, there'd be a little bed over here, and a little bed over, preacher, come on! You just hush a minute, I want to tell you something. I'm going to tell you what's making these little kids. I'm going to tell y'all what's making these little kids cry themselves to sleep at night. I'm going to tell you why divorce courts are full. I want to tell you why people are raped. I want to tell you why young girls nowadays have to wear mini skirts and enough makeup to make them look like a professional whore to get any attention at school. And I know what a whore looks like. I've seen them. I've witnessed to many of them on the street. You know what a whore looks like? She wears a whole bunch of makeup. She got about 3 different colors on her eyes. She's got a ring on every finger. And she either wears real tight pants or real short shorts or a split skirt and some split down to here in the front. I know what a whore looks like.
I've witnessed to a bunch and bunches and bunches of them in Atlanta and Charlotte and out in Tennessee and Nashville and Oakland. I know. So the average girl has to look like that nowadays to get a boyfriend. And you know why it is? Because they don't put ugly people on TV. And if ugly people would band together, they're being discriminated more than blacks ever have been. Amen, preacher! Ugly people are being discriminated more against than homosexuals ever thought about, brother. The problem is they're all ashamed to get together and organize. I'm going to start an advancement for us poor white trash. New organization. Anybody want to join us ugly folks? Listen, if a girl ain't considered pretty and sexy nowadays, she just ain't nothing. That ain't right. It ain't right to judge somebody by their looks. You know where it comes from? It comes from TV. You see any ugly people on Dallas lately? Well, I mean, you know, that's opinion, but at least they try to pick one that's pretty or handsome. Have you seen anybody real ugly? I mean ugly, man. I mean ugly. I mean the kind where they didn't, when they was little, they set them over in the corner and fed them with a slingshot. I mean the kind, brother, where they was afraid to take them out in public. People think it's Halloween. Have you seen anybody like that getting bed on Dynasty lately? Well, have you? No, you won't. You know why? Them sorry, low-down, rotten outfits after money. And the way to get money is put on the whores. And the way to get them is get the pretty ones and pay them enough money. And then the stupid men think the women like it. And they ruin their life, bust up their home, and the kids are the ones that suffer for it. And God's going to judge them. All right, here we go. In the 1970s, a movie was rated R because it had one four-letter word in it. D-A-M-N, and they rated it R. Come a long way, ain't we? There's three major networks of television. I ain't talking about cable. I ain't talking about pay TV and satellite, Lord help. I'm talking about primetime regular television networks. We're surveyed for 12 weeks during the fall, this past fall. You sit there and listen to me. They wrote down every time there was an instance of sex or sex inside, outside, marriage comments, whatever. Total. Actual bed scenes on our major network in 12 weeks were 384. Outside marriage. 66 inside marriage. Comments about sex were 966 outside of marriage. 115 inside marriage. Skin scenes were 577. Total, 2,108. 88% of all sexual activity on primetime television this past fall in 12 weeks was people that were not married to each other. 9 out of 10. Now, you just look at me just a second. How many of you people in this room read your Bible at least 1 hour since we was here last Sunday? You read your Bible at least 1 hour. Raise your hand. You can put them down. How many of you people here watch television at least 1 hour since we was here last Sunday? Raise your hand. The truth is, you watch television a lot more than 1 hour. And if 9 out of 10 references to the bedroom are people that are out in marriage, what in the name of God do you expect people to do? If you watch television 12 hours a week and read your Bible 1 minute a week, what do you think is going to control your thinking? Folks, you know what's wrong with us. Well, Brother Danny, I've heard all them excuses. Well, Brother Danny, they cuss on all the television shows now, and if we made our kids quit watching everything that referred to sexual immorality and all that, what they wouldn't be much they could watch. You figured it out. You're getting smart. We have a television in our home. Now, you know, we let our girls watch certain things. But buddy, you have to watch that thing like a hawk to make sure your kids ain't being fed a bunch of junk. All right, let me tell you something. If I sit up here and preach to you, do right, do right, do right, sooner or later that's going to get into your head. The television preaches to you every night, do wrong, do wrong, do wrong, do wrong. Everybody's doing it. Do wrong. It's preaching to you, and sooner or later it's going to get you. Say, well, you ain't going to take my old... Yeah. Figured there wasn't much hope for you before I started. I could take a little while this morning and tell you about some shows. How about this? Sex, violence, and profanity-oriented programs. I'm going to give you the incidents per hour. Number one, CBS movie, Tour of Duty, whatever that is. I don't even know what it is. 33 an hour. Number two, Crime Story on NBC, 30 an hour. Number three, Private Eye. I don't know what that is. I don't know what Crime Story is. 24 an hour. Sledgehammer, whatever that is. 22 an hour. Hooper Man. I thought it was Superman. Hooper Man. It must be a ball player. 21 per hour. Miami Mice. 21 an hour. Night Court. 20 an hour. Houston Knights. 19 an hour. Spencer for Hire. 19 an hour. Slap Maxwell Story. 18 an hour. L.A. Law, 18 an hour. And I could tell you a whole bunch of other stuff. But I want to close this morning by saying this. The devil knows he's just got a short time. And it is time some of us mamas and daddies got back on our knees and got right with the Lord. Listen, God's not against you having some recreation and entertainment. But if we don't quit abusing what God's give us, God's going to take it away from us. Our nation's going down the tube. We're going to go down the drain, I tell you. If somebody don't get the burden back to pray. What's going on in the world, Brother Danny? I'll tell you what's going on. Son, we're being bombarded by the devil and all the old sleaze joints in New York and Dallas and Miami and Los Angeles are coming right into our living rooms nowadays, and the devil's sitting back laughing. Years ago, kids didn't know what went on inside of bar rooms and strip joints and stuff. Now they know. They see it in their own homes, and mom and daddy's standing right there while the devil comes in and poisons our boys and girls. How about some of us getting right with the Lord? How about somebody coming to the altar and saying, oh God, Lord, if nobody else wants to do right, I want to do right. God, let me have your spirit. God, don't let the devil get my kids. I see some families doing some things right now. In 10 years from now, if the Lord don't come, they're going to weep and beg God to forgive them, but it'll be too late what the devil's doing to their family right now. It's time we was doing something about the situation we're in. Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer.
Every head bowed and every eye closed. Now, I've hit you with some hard stuff this morning. But I've done it for two reasons. Number one, the Lord give it to me. Number two, I love you. And I want to help you. We're getting ready to have an invitation hymn this morning. And if God is speaking to your heart, maybe there's a husband and wife here this morning that's having terrible, terrible marriage trouble. I know in a congregation this big, there's a bunch of you. Maybe there's a mother here this morning. Maybe there's a dad. And you've been shocked by what all you've heard this morning. Deep down inside, you know the only hope you've got is to get right with the Lord. It's the only hope you've got. What kind of future you got? Where you going to be at 10 years from now, 20 years from now if the Lord don't come? Some have already come to the altar this morning. I believe some others need to come. I believe there's some mamas and dads say, hey, I'm going to wake up and see if I can't do something about the shape I'm in. If you don't, you may be next on the devil's hit list. Dear God, do something this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, while these are praying. If you need to come, you come on right now. Come on right now.
Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way.
Come on. Let the Lord help you this morning.
Potter,
you can't do wrong, get by.
I am the clay.
You can't do it. That's right. Come on.
Me
somebody else, you need to come.
Take me after thy will.
Amen. Amen.
While I am
Amen.
Waiting.
Yes, you need to get right with the Lord.
If
you need to get right with the Lord, why don't you come right now? Come on. Come on, just get out of your seat and come. The Lord wants to help you this morning, but you've got to be willing to let Him. You've got to be willing to let Him. Yes, you do.
Search me and try me.
Come on.
Master today.
That's right, young people. Let the Lord help you this morning. That old world out there, it ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. It'll ruin you. It'll ruin your life.
As in thy presence, humbly I bow.
Let God speak to your heart.
Have thine own way.
Let the Lord help you this morning. Let the Lord help you this morning, friend. Why don't you just give up? Let the Lord help you this morning. That's right. Come on. That's right. Amen. Amen. The Lord's only hope we've got.
Power, all power, surely is thine.
You'll live.
Touch me and heal me.
You'll live.
Save your divine.
I've heard people say, oh, Brother Danny, if I'd done that, I'd have to quit doing anything that's any fun. You'll get over it. You'll live, and you'll live a whole lot better. A whole lot better. You'll be just like a bird out of a cage if you'd get off that old stuff you're hooked on. The devil just constantly preaching that old doctrine into you 7 days a week. And you're trying to fight it, trying to do right. The best thing to do is quit listening to the devil preach. He'll convince you sooner or later if you listen to him. We're going to sing another verse. I believe there's others that need to come. One more verse while we sing. Come on. Come on. Just get out of your seat and come right now. Amen. That's the Lord to have His own way in your heart.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hold o'er my being absolute sway.
Yes, sing it.
Fill with thy spirit.
The Lord wants to help you today.
Till all shall see.
But you gotta let Him.
Christ only always living in me.
All right, now while these are still praying and the Lord's are dealing with some and the music still plays softly, you that were joining the church, come on forward right quickly. We have two to join the church this morning. We'll have them come forward right quick. Make sure you get settled this morning before you leave. You that are on the altar, you just take time and pray as long as you need to pray. This is serious business here this morning of people getting right with the Lord. And you know, everybody's going to face it sooner or later. It don't matter. I mean, I know a lot of people don't like me for the stuff that I say, but I tell you something, folks, it don't really matter. I know I told you the truth this morning. I told you the truth, and I told you because I love you, and I don't want to hurt you. The Lord wants to help you this morning. But you can't never help somebody by lying to them. The truth will set you free. And I hope you'll wake up this morning. I hope you mamas and daddies will go to work on it at home to make your marriage be what it ought to be. Don't take each other for granted. Be nice to each other. Listen, all you husbands, every one of you ought to go home this evening and do something very special for you. You ought to cook. Or wash dishes or take her out or something. Hallelujah. Oh, I ain't going to do that. I don't want a hen peck. You ain't going to have no hen to peck if you don't watch it. Ladies, you look at that man. He may not be like that little homosexual looking thing on the soap operas. But you look at them fingernails. He's worked hard. Provided for you when you didn't even deserve it. Y'all be nice to him. Amen. We need to love and appreciate each other. The devil's after us. He's after us. Well, right quick, we have Vanessa Manis this morning to come to join the church, and Brother Dave Kaler. And we thank the Lord for these two and Brother Andy's wife here, of course. And then Dave was made his profession of faith and trusted the Lord as his Savior just a couple of months ago. Thank God for doing a great work in his life. And he don't know what a blessing he's been to us already and a lot of people. And so they both come to join the church this morning. We'll just take them both together. Someone will make the motion. Second. All in favor, let it be known by an uplifted hand. Amen. All these folks that didn't raise their hand, they're not against you. They ain't members.